This morning we're continuing our final leg of our sermon series where we're talking about the epic things that we can do to participate in the life of the church. As you've known from the past weeks, we've based this on Leonard Sweet's book, The Gospel According to Starbucks, and we've taken a look at those things that we can learn from the way Starbucks approaches business that work for us in the church. And if we remember, the first one of those is the importance of experience. And so when you come to worship, we want you to be able to experience God's presence and the Spirit of God moving among us. And once you've experienced that in a way that impacts you, then you want to participate more in the life of the church. And that's the idea. The second week we talked about that participation. And then as you participate, then you notice that certain images become very important to you. I pointed out to Tim this morning that when he had the banner out, I said, we should use that banner more because it brings back an image and memories for me when I look at the and think about the grapes and to think about communion. And so that was the third week. And today we're talking about connection. And there are a lot of ways to connect. And one of those ways we're talking about today is that we're talking about how you can participate in the ministries and the lifeblood of the church. And I think that little video did a great job of describing that sometimes we come and we're just as if we're along for the ride, and other days, then we need to know the importance of participation. I have here, I borrowed this from somewhere, Starbucks. We have our hiring fair sign. That's what we're having today. We're having a hiring fair, a ministry fair that you're going to be invited to participate in at the end of our worship service today. And before I forget about it, because I won't remember to mention where everything's at, children's ministry is in the hallway on the way to the Sunday school education unit. So don't forget if you're ready to sign up for children's ministries. But I wanted to tell you, I've always thought the importance of connections is immense. The importance of connections is probably one of the biggest things that we do is connect with other people in one way or another. And I was thinking about that a lot. We have in our congregation, you may not realize this, we have one of the supreme connectors of the world in our congregation, Ed Armstrong. Did you know that? Ed, would you just wave at everybody? Now, everybody knows Ed, but Ed told me one time that he knows everybody. And it's kind of hard to believe that, but I do know that he was sitting around one day with some of his buddies drinking coffee, and we found out that John Wooden was coming to Purdue to speak. And Ed said, well, I know John Wooden. I can get us good seats. We'll go hear John Wooden. And they said, oh, we don't believe you, Ed. You don't know John Wooden. And sure enough, the day for John Wooden to speak came, and he met his buddies out in front of Elliott Hall. And not only did he get to usher them in, but they had front row seats. And they sat right down in the front row, and it wasn't long for in the middle of his speech, John Wooden sat down there and he said, hey, Ed, good to see you. And so, boy, his buddies were just like, they were mystified. A few weeks later, they were sitting around the coffee shop, and the discussion came up, and they found out that President Bush was coming to Indianapolis. And Ed says, I know President Bush. And they're like, no way. He says, oh, yeah, I'll show you. Goes over, he gets a phone, and he calls, makes a few phone calls, says, it's all set. We're all set to go see President Bush. They didn't believe him anyway, and Ed got him, and they got in the car, and they drove down to Indianapolis, and sure enough, not only did they get right in, but they didn't even have to sit in the front. They were ushered back into the green room, and they got to meet President Bush back there, and President Bush said, Ed, I just want to thank you for everything I've learned from you. And I mean, it was an amazing thing, and these people were like, I don't get it. I said, Ed is connected with everybody, but we think this is the limit. And so they were sitting around a week or two later, and something came on TV, and they saw a little note there about the Pope and what the Pope was doing. And Ed says, oh, I know the Pope. And they drew the line right here. They said, we don't believe this for a minute. Ed doesn't know the Pope. He says, let me get on the phone. Ed gets on the phone. He comes back and said, we're going to the Vatican. Sure enough, next day they got in the plane and they flew over. They flew to Rome, went right to the Vatican. They went out in, what is that, St. Peter's Square. And they were out there, and there were a lot of people there, and the Pope was getting ready to speak. And so they were all kind of mystified. Did he really know the Pope? They just thought, oh, he just brought us here. He doesn't know the Pope. And all of a sudden, the Pope got up, and he came out on that little balcony to speak, And they looked around, and Ed had disappeared. And they looked up, and sure enough, standing right beside the Pope was Ed. And they heard these little women ahead of them, these two little women. They said, "Well, who is that guy?" And the one woman says to the other, "Well, I don't know who the guy is in the funny hat, but he's standing next to Ed Armstrong." Well, connections are important. Now, you can't say I didn't warn you ahead of time, did I? Okay? And these are so important. And we sometimes think about connections and we don't realize all the connections we have with other people. Starbucks has made an intention out of people connecting. I think they're in the relationship business, not in the coffee business. And one of the ways Starbucks does this is that I've read that they provide a living room for 33 million people a week. People can go to a Starbucks, and they can go and they can sit on the couch, they can listen to music, if they brought their laptop, they can get on the internet, they can do all of those things because Starbucks is providing them an opportunity, a place, a space to connect. And I do believe that the church used to be one of those places. A church used to be a place where people went to connect. And we want to understand the importance of that for us today. How can we again become the place for people to connect? Roy Oldenburg talks about that everyone needs three places. And we all have them, whether we realize it or not. And we have at least two of them. And one of those places is home. And we have a place at home we know we can go. If you're still working, the second place for us is often work. If we're students, it's school. But we have that second place. But we need a third place. A place that we can go, a place that we can be, a place that we can connect, a place that we can know others. Starbucks has become that for so much of the world, and the church has lost that place. At one time, the church used to be a place where people went and connected. We used to be a place where we would gather for mourning and celebrations to support each other and lift each other up, but we've lost that over the years. And so today I want to take a look right now at the qualities. If the church is to become a third place, if the church is to become a place where you're willing to come and connect with others, what qualities might we have that all third places should have, including Starbucks or any place else? Let's take a look right now as we look at these six qualities. Well, in a moment. The qualities of a third place. Number one, neutral ground. Neutral ground is important because so many places we go, it's not really a neutral space. If you go to a store, they're trying to sell you something. If you go to a ball game, it's not a neutral space. It's a space that's going to be full of people that have opinions. If you go to a political event, same thing. But a third place needs to be a place that's neutral, that you can come in and be yourself. Starbucks is that way. Starbucks, you can go into Starbucks, and you can have a cup of coffee, and you can stay there for hours. They'll never try to kick you out. In fact, the longer you stay, the friendlier they become. I mean, the longer I stay at Starbucks, they bring me food. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to get rid of me or what, but they bring me the food. So it's a neutral place that you can go. Secondly, a quality of a third place is that it's inclusive and promotes equality. It's a spot that you can go and you're going to be included simply by your presence there. You're going to be accepted. You're going to be equal to anyone else that's there. It's a place that you can just be. The third is that conversation is the central activity. That's so important because that's really what happens at Starbucks. You go with somebody, you have a cup of coffee with them, you converse, you talk about your family, your life, whatever's going on in your job. You talk about these things, and conversation is the central reason for being there. Fourth, it's frequented by regulars. I mean, you seem to get to know people and recognize people when you go to a Starbucks. At a church, no matter how big the church is, you have to find regulars that you can connect with. You know, that's why people often sit in the same or similar spots. We make fun of that in the life of the church, but there's a reason for it. It's because then we know who's going to sit around us, don't we? Yes, we all know that. I could look at these certain groups and I know they're going to be here every week. In fact, I could just go over and check them off, and if they're not here, it's really easy for me to tell when they're not here. But we have regular spots and we know the people. The fifth is, it's typically a homey place. It's a place you can feel comfortable and relaxed, and how important that is. And finally, the sixth one is, it fosters a playful mood. It's fun to go to Starbucks. I mean, I know some of you don't like that coffee, but it's a fun place to go. It's a fun place to be. I like to go around and look at the things that they have. I like to listen to the music. I even like to go and drool over all the food, you know, that's behind the glass, and just kind of try to smell the aroma of it. And so it's a playful place to be. And I wonder if the church can become a place, a third place, for all of us that has these kind of essential qualities. I've been driving the trustees crazy ever since I read this book, because I think one of the things the church is missing, our church is missing, is all of those ingredients, not all of them, but most of those ingredients of becoming a legitimate third place. Because we don't have that homey atmosphere. We don't have that comfortable spot. And so I've been talking to the trustees about, and we're looking at taking room 7 right over here and making it into our living room. But I don't want it to be a living room, because living room has too nice a furniture. I want it to be a family room. I want it to be a space where if you have a small group, you can come in and you can reserve that room, and you're going to go in and you're going to sit on couches and you're going to have your cup of coffee and you're going to relax, and it's going to be a spot that you can have conversation with regulars, because it's so important to have a space like that, that we can have an opportunity to meet with people and connect. Isn't it hard to connect in a worship space? I mean, I think it's easier with chairs than with pews, but if you ever tried to get, if you were in a church with pews and you were sitting back here by John Yerian and you wanted to see Charlie Long, and all of a sudden the service ended, have you ever tried to get through a pew and around people? I mean, it can be hard, can't it? But even the chairs provided impediments. So we want a space, a sacred space where you can go and do this. And so those things are important. The church used to be a place where relationships were primary, where building relationships were the sole purpose of gathering outside of Sunday morning. Sunday morning was for worship. It was for experiencing God's presence. It was for conversion. But then the rest of the time was opportunities to relate to others and to God. And yet we've lost that. There's a thirst for a third place today. I really do believe that. I believe that people want those kind of places. And in fact, one of the things that's pointed out in Sweet's book is that we've lost the front porch in America. The front porch used to be the place where we could talk to our neighbors. Now we build decks at the back with big privacy fences, so we don't even have to see our neighbors. And then bad things happen in our neighborhoods and we wonder why. He said, if we could just recapture that sense of the front porch, and maybe the church can be one of those places where we have a front porch, where we can gather and where we can converse and connect. It's so important. There's a new golden rule in business that I think is so important. In fact, every business, it seems like, in reading reports and things I've read, seems to evaluate their business by how they answer one question. And that is, when they talk to people, the question is, would you recommend us to others? That is the ultimate question. It's the question that the church should be asking. Are you receiving the message of the gospel? Are you receiving a place to participate? Are you having an opportunity to connect and meet Jesus in that place? And if you are, would you recommend it to other people? And that is one of the goals. Zygmunt Bauman, remember that name? I probably won't. But Zygmunt Bauman said that connections and relationships are the rocks in the middle of quicksand. He said, in fact, that relationships are the only thing permanent in life. You thought about that? Relationships are the only thing permanent. You got a nice house, it's not permanent. Tornado can come, a fire can come, financial problems can come, you can lose the house. Got a nice car, may break down tomorrow. You never know. Got nice clothes, they may be out of style in 2 weeks. Doesn't matter. The only thing permanent in life are relationships. And so church should be about building relationships, first with God, then with other people. It's been said, Hannah Whitehall Smith wrote years and years ago, that in our spiritual life, we should aspire to reach higher and higher, and we should reach out further and further as we go. That is the goal of a relationship with God. Up to God, out to others. And that is what we come and talk about today as we talk about connections. The church should be crying out to a community, to a world that needs connections, that come and let us be your front porch. Come and let us provide a family room that you can go and be in. A place that you can go and relax, that you can make connections with others. Let us be your front porch. How important that is. I want to share with you that something really interesting happened to me on Thursday, and that is that I went to the Child Abuse Summit, and it was a great experience. There were several hundred people there, and part of the day was spent with about 100 high school youth. And as part of that day, we broke into small groups with those high school youth, and after that, we went to other meetings. And in the last meeting I went to, we were talking about neighborhood and community and what we might do. And there was a woman that was sitting beside me, and she said, well, I met with two different groups of youth at lunch that both said the same thing. They said that they really wished they had a safe place that they could go. A safe place that they didn't have to worry and couldn't be scared. And for some of those, by the way, you well know this, that safe place wasn't home. And so they needed a safe place. And by the way, I don't know if anybody that saw it later from our church would have ever believed me. They would have probably doubted me. But then she said, this is what the youth said. The youth said, you know what we need? Two times they said this, two different groups. We need a Starbucks. We need a place we can go. And I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, I'm preaching a sermon series, and we're talking about the importance of that. Those epic things that you can receive there. And how wonderful it would be if we could have people receive that here. If we could become the place, the safe place for youth and children and adults. That we could become the connecting place where people could meet God. How important that is. In just a moment, we're going to pass out the ministry menus. In fact, you can go ahead and begin to do that if you'd like as I wrap up the message. I want you to look at those. And as we end the service, we're not going to end with and send you off to coffee. We're going to call you forward and into room 6 and into the hallway. I really want you to consider coming forward and talking and picking up a brochure or asking questions. Think about what ministry you might participate in starting February 1 for the next year in the life of the church. We need you to participate. We need you to connect. It's my belief that God always has understood the importance of relationships. God has always tried to relate to us no matter how far we've ran the other way. And in fact, when God tried it in all the ways that God could, God finally sent Jesus to be with us. God sent Jesus to be here because we needed to be able to relate to God in the flesh. You can still have that opportunity to relate to God in that way. And to connect with others. And so it's so important today that you make this step, that you make this commitment. I mean, I could say, well, if you're a member of the church, it was part of your membership vows. Jack pointed that out today. But that's not what it's about. It's about responding to God's love. It's about responding to how God has cared for you and is in relationship with you. And being willing to step forward and say, I'm going to be in relationship too. E.M. Forrester wrote a book, later made into a movie. It was called Howard's End. I don't know if any of you ever saw or read Howard's End, but on the title page of his book, there were only two words when you opened the book. And those two words were only connect. Only connect. That isn't the whole puzzle, but that's the piece of the puzzle we're calling you to do today, to respond and to serve. When I went to seminary at Northwestern in the chapel, there were three stained glass windows. And the stained glass window on the left was an invitation to come. It was the scene Jesus calling the disciples. Scriptures reminded us of that. Let the little children come to me. Let everyone come to me. In the middle, stained glass was sitting at the foot of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, learning. Come and learn. And the third picture was serve. Come, learn, serve. That's what we're called to do as people of faith. I'm inviting you forward, and I want you to really, before you go get your coffee, before you do anything else, even if you're meeting people from the Baptist Church at Christo's, just take a few moments. Come forward. Now, would all of our leaders now come forward and take your places before I give us a benediction and invite the others forward? So if you're missions leaders, would you go into the missions room? Worship folks and Jack up here and Lynn and anybody else that's around for any of our other ministries. We've got Heather up here. We've got Carrie in the hallway. So they are going to be here. And here comes Heather. She's coming up here. If you have any questions, then these are the folks to ask. Say, I read this one sentence and it sounds good, but I want to know, if I sign up to do this, how much is the time commitment? How much is the work that's going to happen? And so don't forget, service and outreach are all in room 6. Everything else is around. Pastor's Initiative in Fighting Child Abuse, right here. Come, Lynn has done a lot of work with some great descriptions and brochures of what we're doing, how you might participate. Now, instead of saying, go with God today, I'm going to say, come. Come. Respond. Say yes. Only connect. Only serve. Thanks be to God.